Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's a tale of two cities, this time shown through the lenses of cameras embedded in two hospitals, at Newark's University Hospital and at New York Presbyterian in Manhattan. My next guests are Terry Wrong, the executive producer of the TV series New York Med on ABC News, and Aysu Gradowski, series producer. The season premiere is tonight at 10 on ABC. Hi, Terry. Hi, Aysu. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having us, Brian.
Thanks, it's lovely to be here.
And Terry, you've made similar shows before in hospitals like Johns Hopkins and Brigham and Women's in Boston. Maybe some of our listeners have seen those series on ABC. Why did you decide to shoot this season in two very different hospitals in our area?
Well, you know, we've seen great elective surgeries in the past, you know, brilliant brain surgeons and heart surgeons performing, you know, feats of medical brilliance. And we want to see those again because those are very compelling tales. But Newark's just 12 miles away, and it really feels like the forgotten America to a degree. And cameras hadn't been in University Hospital in Newark for 25 years. So we wanted to really take the pulse of that city. And actually, there's nowhere better to take the pulse of a city than in the hospital.
So in Manhattan at the New York Presbyterian Hospital, there are a lot of elective surgeries, removing tumors, repairing heart valves. In Newark, there are a lot of young gunshot victims, and a person who has been slashed with a box cutter, for example, you show. Was it a conscious decision, Aysu, to show how different the types of emergencies are in Newark and a fairly well-off part of Manhattan?
Well, absolutely. I think that, as Terry said, it's a city that's only 12 miles away, but in many people's minds, it's a whole world away. I mean, it's a part of America that seems to be forgotten. And our purpose is really to show that, this is prevalent. This is something that's happening, this level of violence. And despite that, the way they're being treated really isn't that different than 12 miles away in Manhattan, where they're getting first-class care.
There's a scene, for example, in the hospital in Newark where an 18-year-old guy has been shot. And here's a clip of his distraught mother who's being comforted by a doctor.
I'm the trauma surgeon. Okay. So he was shot in the face and in the neck. The bullet is sitting in the jawbone, and I think that it went in here, and it's injured some blood vessels in the neck and his spine.
Oh, no!
Now, what I do...
Wait.
I know this is very bad, but I don't think he has an injury to the cord. Okay? I don't know yet because we put him, he's sedated.
Just save my baby, please. I cannot bury my baby. Please just save my baby.
We're going to do everything we can to save your baby. Okay? All right.
I cannot bury my child. I can't.
That excerpt from the series New York Med at Newark's University Hospital on ABC tonight. And then here's the doctor reflecting on the boy's injury and telling his mom what they found.
I have a 19-year-old son, and I really feel for the mothers and the fathers of these young men in particular. So we'll know a little bit more when we can wake him up.
Please, save my baby.
We will.
Save my baby. Thank you so much.
All right, so you will get to see him.
Okay.
But probably be another half hour.
Okay. Thank you.
Every one of these young men has a mother. They love their son as much as I love mine, and they're just like me.
And we can say that this child does not die. But listening to the doctor there talking to the reporters as opposed to talking to the mother, yes, of course, she identifies with every child. She has children herself. But at the same time, it's just highly unlikely that a doctor's son would be the victim of a shooting. So did you just want viewers to take a minute there to think what the doctor and the patient's mom were thinking, put themselves in the victim's mom's shoes for a minute if they're not living in that kind of environment?
Well, I think that scene really just goes to show that you know, we have these trauma surgeons like Dr. Mosenthal, who's actually the chief of surgery in Newark, who comes from a very different background, you know, different race, class, socioeconomic background than this mother, but is able to connect with her on such a deep level over, you know, the most human thing possible, which is your child and the worry that something horrible could happen to your child. And so that level of empathy that she's able to display is very striking, and that's really what we wanted to show, and that's what we believe is powerful about that.
And Terry, I think one thing the show really does well is show how important bedside manner is. And the doctors in the show all seem really good at it, and I think we heard an example of that in that clip. Did you decide to show those doctors on purpose?
Well, sure. There's, you know, I don't think we can deny there's a bunch of casting that goes on. I mean, you have thousands of doctors. Actually, Dr. Mosenthal, interestingly, she's kind of a low-key woman, very professional. I wasn't even going to include her. And then Isu really dug this scene out of the thousands of hours of footage we had and said, you have to look at what happens in this case. And we looked at it. It was so compelling. And what happens is the doctors become larger personalities. When you actually see them save a life, they become almost, I don't want to say godlike, but your respect for them goes up, you know, manifest. So even somebody who might strike you as nondescript, you know, on a first encounter can become hugely charismatic when they save a life.
Louisa in Manhattan has a question about the making of this. Louisa, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I wondered primarily how you made your film, filming, whether there was any limitation placed on what you were permitted to film by the hospitals or by patients, how you went about arranging for permissions and whether there were any limitations.
Thanks for that question, Louisa. And it, you know, it might appear when you watch the show that, hey, there are no strings attached, the cameras are running amok in the hospital, but actually there's a huge amount of preparation and behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on. We have a very ironclad contract with the hospital where we have to honor the Patient Privacy Act that all hospitals have to honor. We talk to relatives. We get their signed consent. We get the patient's signed consent. It's everything that you'll see has been approved by the patients who we're broadcasting.
And that's pretty personal, in-your-face, reality TV kind of stuff that we heard in that clip there with the woman actually being told at that moment, being recorded for television, whether she knew it or not, you know, that had her son had been shot in the face and the spine.
Yeah, I mean, why people sign releases in moments of distress, and by the way, we call them back before actual broadcast to make sure we didn't just get a consent during a period of shock and that they're still good with it. Is really, you know, we've theorized about that for many years, and we just think people feel like they are kind of helpless when they're patients and that this is a way to be proactive and share the experience with a wider public. And somewhere that registers almost immediately on people, and they say, yeah, let me let this out. Let me show this.
Anybody who works at University Hospital or ever been treated there want to call in and talk about the issues that are being raised here? 212-433-WNYC, or New York Presbyterian for that matter, 212-433-9692 for Isu Gradowski and Terry Wrong, producers from ABC News of the new series New York Med, which premieres tonight at 10 on ABC. And Terry, while things up at Columbia might seem more calm, I have to say the doctors at University Hospital in Newark were showing themselves to be extremely capable and caring. Does the show aim to say anything about the differences between the level of care that you would get at a private hospital in Manhattan and a public hospital in Newark?
Well, you know, I guess you could, you know, you could parse things if you're going to have a very complicated heart surgery. Oh, Columbia has a top-ranked heart surgery department. Newark, much further down the list. But, you know, different hospitals, because of the patient populations, are specialists in different kinds of things. If you get shot, you know, you have the crack trauma team maybe in this part of the East Coast at Newark. And cops will tell you, you know, I mean, the old adage we used to work in Boston, they'd say, if I get shot, take me to Boston Medical. And when I stabilize, transfer me to Mass General.
Huh. Pretty good. I saw a documentary one time where you didn't even have to go 12 miles apart. It was a private hospital and a public hospital practically across the street from each other in Brooklyn. So maybe it's a matter of the economics of who can afford to go to one kind of hospital as opposed to who can afford to go to another kind of hospital and the treatment that ensues therefore.
That's true. But in medicine, you know, volume really makes perfection. You know, if you do an operation 500 times, you're going to get really good at it. If you do it like once every 2 weeks, less good. And so, you know, you can, you know, what a hospital specializes in becomes kind of their mantra. So, for example, Boston Children's Hospital takes a ton of the pediatric cases. So you can be across the street and each hospital can be great at one thing or several things.
And we're talking about the differences between these two hospitals, but it's not like everything is always rosy in the ER at Columbia Presbyterian or New York Presbyterian either. I mean, it's still New York City. It's still Manhattan. And you show nurses dealing with drunk and unruly patients. And, you know, people come in with gunshot wound trauma there, too.
They do. And we also see a different kind of trauma at New York Presbyterian. For example, on the east side at Cornell, part of New York Presbyterian, we'll see subway accident victims pinned between the platform, an endless amount of taxi cab, pedestrian struck, things like that, and lots of cute little old Jewish ladies who are really the life of the party when they come into the ER and everybody wants to chat to them and they want to chat to everybody. So different populations. Columbia, uptown, near Washington Heights, it's a very Dominican population, and there's a lot of primary care going on there.
Let's take a call from Pooja in Newark, a student at University Hospital, I think. Pooja, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, yes, how are you?
Good, thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me. I just wanted to thank the makers of the show because I actually just finished my third year of medical school, and I was part of the trauma team, not when they were filming, but just 2 months ago. And I want to thank you for giving such recognition to the trauma team and to University Hospital, which is a hospital that really doesn't get a lot of recognition.
Well, thanks, Pooja, for saying that. And do you agree that in trauma, this is really a crack hospital?
It is. I had some really crazy experiences there, and I'm really looking forward to the show.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
You know, when I think about a series like this, as earnest as you may be trying to be, I can't help but remember blowback to other shows where the subject matter can be life or death, like that police show First 48, where cops in Detroit broke down a door looking for a murder suspect and shot and killed a 7-year-old mm-hmm. who was sleeping on the couch. And some people blame the cops' aggressiveness on feeling like they have to perform for the cameras. Is there any similar danger having cameras in the ER?
I'll throw that one to Aisu, who actually shoots a good portion of this series.
Well, sure. You always think that there might possibly be no such thing as fly on the wall. Verite documentary. You just think that the very nature of having a camera present might change the way people behave. But in this situation, when you are in an ER and, you know, someone busts through the door, shot multiple times, and the staff there is just concerned about saving their life, they really do forget about you. I'm on the sidelines, and I have the privilege of being able to watch these people work. And a lot of times, whoever is wearing a microphone literally forgets that they are, and their main focus is the work that they're doing. And I think just the very nature of the emergency room and the situations we're in lends itself to that.
Yemi and Irvington, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning. My dad worked at the hospital there for a number of years, and I've also had friends who've been injured and some that didn't actually make it that gone to that hospital in University in Newark. And I just wanted to say it's a great institution, and without it, people would have to travel miles for trauma care in New Jersey.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is an amazing level one center. We actually see people come from far away from Newark, you know, South Brunswick and other parts of New Jersey when bad things happen. And then we had a guy in a plane crash who fell out of the sky, a student pilot who survives. It's an incredible story. His co-pilot was killed and we're there when he was brought in. And So I completely agree. The other point about what that hospital does for the city, which is a great point you're making, Remy, is it's a major employer in a city where manufacturing is basically non-existent.
So there are so many television shows, you know, fictional TV series that are shot, that are set in hospitals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at least one in an emergency room that I don't have to say the name of. Were you going for something similar, or were you trying to even consciously create a distinction between what you were shooting in these ERs and what we would see on fictional TV in primetime?
Well, it's not really a matter of what we were going for. It's a matter of what presented itself while we were there. And, you know, some fictional dramas or comedies, you know, there are certain storylines that occur for a reason, and they're emulating things that happen in real life. And it's pretty cool to be able to see things transpire in real life that actually give a basis for what the fictional dramas and comedies base their storytelling off
of. So did it make you think that the fictional series got it more wrong or got it more right than you thought before?
Well, I think compared to real life, there's really nothing more right than that.
All right. We've had the series producer and the executive producer, Isu Gradowski and Terry Wrong, of the ABC series New York Med, looking at New York Presbyterian, its current name, Hospital in New York, and University Hospital in Newark. It premieres tonight at 10 on ABC. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Brian, for having us.